simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. We come here every Wednesday morning and talk about prophecy and the reality of it. Because as we all know, prophecy, Bible prophecy, that is God-given history in advance. And we've been experiencing that God-given history in advance for 1900 plus years, ever since John received the revelation and was told that the prophecy that he was given would commence immediately, would shortly come to pass in his day. And that is exactly what the church expected, who received the revelation from John's hand and from his mouth as he traveled those seven churches of Asia Minor, and he preached on his revelation. That was his job when he got out of his Patmos prison, to take that revelation to those seven churches, and then from those seven churches, it would go to the entire world. And it has gone into the entire world. And no, the revelation, God did not lie in the revelation when he said the things foretold here, the future things that would be revealed upon opening the seals, would shortly come to pass. And they did. And we've been watching it. Or I should say the church, because we haven't been here for 2,000 years, but we do have a record that goes back as far as the revelation and beyond. So we have been watching it unfold, and we have the evidence of it unfolding in history itself until this very day. And we realize that there are a few things left that need to be fulfilled before the second coming of Christ, before he returns in like manner that he left. And it will be soon. I'm hoping within my lifetime. I'm in my 70th year of life. So I don't know if he'll come within the next 30 years. I'd have to be 100 years old if he came, if I lived to be 100 and he came in my lifetime. That's not guaranteed to anyone. Well, 506 years ago, yesterday, October 31st, Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis to the door of the church, or the castle church at Wittenberg. And he began something of which he had no idea what the outcome would be. In his own words, he said, "I was a mad papist." Even when he nailed that 95 thesis to the door of the church, he said, "I was a mad papist." And if you read the 95 thesis, you'll see the challenges there to the church, but you'll also see his devotion to the papacy and the church hierarchy, the Roman Catholic Church. It is also evident when you read it. But he began something that he had no idea what would be the outcome of it. And he was swept away in what happened after that, as was all of Europe within a generation, was swept away in the Protestant Reformation. What he thought would be a Catholic Reformation, a reformation of the Roman Catholic Church, him being a mad papist, he thought that that was the true church, but it needed some reform. But before 40 years was up, way before 40 years was up, he discovered several things. First, what began it all, he discovered the gospel message. Yeah. Faith alone, that truth, that salvation came by faith alone, by God's word alone. And after a while, when he began to be persecuted for speaking the truth, he learned that the church, the Roman Catholic Church to be specific, was irreformable. It could not be reformed because it was corrupt. Root, tree, branch, all of it. Entirely corrupt and irreformable. Then, when those seven thunders uttered their own voices from the seven hills, the capital of that great apostasy, he understood that the seat, that the throne on those seven hills was the seat of the very Antichrist. Yeah. And that's what people learned. And for ever since then, people have been coming out of that great apostasy at the command that is written in the Revelation, which says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and her punishments, in so many words. So there we have it, 506 years since the foretold Reformation, and Martin Luther, that nailing of his 95 thesis, that was the beginning, the very beginning of it. And as a humble monk, who was a mad papist, he had no idea whatsoever. He began when he nailed his thesis to the church door. Well, it's good to see a few people have showed up for the program today. Shauna, Dale, Romans chapter 6 in the chat room. I don't think I've seen you there before. Greetings, Brother Nicholas. See, what we read of the church in Revelation are upon us at present. We are living now what was written then. And, the church has been living it ever, like I said, ever since the beginning. And yes, we are living it. It continues until he comes again. And, we meet him in the air. We are living now, really, we are living what was written before Christ's second coming. Yes. We are in the end times for sure. We are at the very cusp of the coming of Christ. But like I said, that could be 30 years off. I mean, a lot of people, oh no, it's really bad. Well, yeah. Only the rapturous get to escape tribulation. But for all of us regular people who aren't so delusional, no, there's no escaping it, because the seals did open immediately about at the end of the first century. The first seal opened, and the prophecy has been fulfilling. So we can thank God for that, that the rapturous, the pre-tribulation rapturous, because, you know, if you argue with him and say, there is no rapture in the Bible, well, they'll say, well, yes, there is. And they'll say the Latin here for the word harpazo in the Greek is, for the words in the English, caught up, is rapture, or rapturos, or however you would say it in Latin. So they imported a Latin word to, it's only fitting that they should import a Latin word, because the pre-tribulation rapture is built upon a Latin foundation, that was laid by the, Jesuit Francisco Ribera in his end time Antichrist thesis. And we've already discussed and we know what that was all about. But I did want to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the Mideast right now. That just every idea and everything is swirling around. It certainly isn't helping the pre-tribulation secret rapture crowd any, because they're not any closer to getting their temple built on the Temple Mount. Just, there were, and I covered these negotiations several weeks ago, the kind of low-key secret negotiations that were going on behind the scenes between Israel and its Arab neighbors. Well, those have all been put on hold, as of the Hamas attack and, of course, the outrage against Israel for it taking care of its own internal affairs, whether they're doing it right or wrong or not, really wouldn't matter. things would turn out as they are anyway. And they say one thing, other people say other things. And personally, from where I sit, I hear both sides, but I cannot verify both sides. And to me, you know, Hamas and the rulers of the Gaza Strip or the Gaza, you know, compound or whatever it is, it's a set aside area there that national Israel has sovereignty at the moment, whether it's legitimate or not. I'm not going to argue any of that. I'm not even going to be a part of that argument, okay? As far as the heathen nations and all the unbelieving nations of the world, what do I have to do with them? Nothing. Now, I recognize in Israel and in Gaza, God's people are there. There are people like us, God's chosen people, those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, are the true and only chosen people of God. Period. Do I need to say it again? God's chosen people are only those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, whose sins are cleansed by His blood. If your sins have not been cleansed, if your sins are not washed in the blood of the Lamb, then you are not one of His chosen. That's all there is to that. Now, God had a chosen people, a nation at one time, and Daniel was given a prophecy, and you can read about it, the 70 weeks prophecy. He says 70 weeks are determined. The word determined there refers to a cutting off. So this was the time determined before they would be cut off. And when the time determined came to its end, Israel as a nation was cut off from being God's chosen nation. And that status was transferred to a supranational people, a nation without borders, a holy nation. That nation that is washed in the blood of the Lamb, that transcends the boundaries of every nation on the planet of Earth. And that nation over there, Israel, is a lost nation, a godless nation, as a national status, because they do not accept, if they were a godly nation, they would worship the Messiah. Now, I'm not saying that there are no Christians there are none of God's people there. There are in every nation on the planet. God has His people now, a holy nation that transcends all of the borders of the entire world. Anybody want to argue with that? Well, you're going to argue with God's word. Romans chapter 6 says, praise the Lord for Martin Luther, that blessed saint, and his 95 thesis, yes. Come out of the harlot church, amen. I was born a Catholic myself, so, you know, I came out. What does it mean to be born a Catholic? It means nothing. Jesus said, you must be born again. So if you want to come out of the Catholic church into the true universal church, because Roman Catholic, the Latin Catholic, meaning universal, is an oxymoron, unless it's just confined to Rome. Okay? It could be the Roman Universal Church in Rome, but if it's worldwide, it's an oxymoron. And it is, because it is not the true church. It is the great apostasy. It is not the true church. Anyway, getting back to our news today, and what's going on over there, all we can do really is wait and see. Will it be the beginning of World War III? Well, if it brings the kings of the East against Western Europe, well, yeah, then I would say, and it looks like it's a possibility, because we have a commotion from the kings of the East, China and Russia and every nation over there in the Far East, and I'm thinking Far East. Now, the East, back in the day, referred mainly to Eastern Europe, you know, the Islamic powers that dominate there even today, that were a woe to Christianity in the past. You read about the woes to Christianity in Revelation. That's all fulfilled prophecy, because those woes did happen. Those armies did come against Western Christendom in history. And I believe all of the woes, the Islamic woes of the Revelation, are already fulfilled and past. Okay? And it says, and I believe with E.B. Eliot, that the drying up of the Euphrates is the drying up of those powers that created those woes, the Turkmen, the Islamic, the Mohammedan powers that were a woe to Western Christendom, and went even into Spain and France and North Africa, and were repelled by the Christian powers in history. So those are all past. And thank God, see, because it's a lie. When the dispensational pre-tribulation rapture teachers tell you that after the rapture, which is never going to have a pre-tribulation secret rapture, can't say rapture is never going to happen, because we will be caught up. And that's all the word means, is caught up. And it's part of a sentence. You can't divorce it from where it's at in the prophetic passage that it's in. You can't divorce it and make it a secret pre-tribulation, separate resurrection, only for God's people that are on earth and alive and remain at the time 7 years before the second coming of Christ. That total construct is all it is a construct and a speculation that cannot be verified and is explicitly stated nowhere in the scripture. I hope everybody's getting the idea. And, you know, the challenge is here. Come on, you know, come on and, you know, show me in the scripture where I'm wrong, and show me where it is explicitly stated that there is any such thing as a secret rapture. A third resurrection is what it would be. You know, we've talked about this before many times, and I can talk about it again, and we can go to John chapter 5, and Jesus speaking, he says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice," speaking of the dead rising. "They shall come forth, they that have done good, to the resurrection of life." Yeah, that's the one that we want to go to. "And they that have done evil, to the resurrection of damnation." Clearly delineated two separate resurrections. Okay? Will these people be caught up? Yeah. They'll be caught up. That's what the word harpazo and rapture in the Latin mean. That's all they mean, is caught up. You could be caught up in a lot of different ways, and that That phrase, caught up, harpazo, rapture, can be used in a lot of different instances. It isn't a special event. It's just part of the resurrection event when Christ comes. So Jesus here clearly outlines two resurrections. The first one is they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And you don't really get a whole lot more information here on that. It doesn't, you wouldn't know, do these both happen at the same time? Are they the same resurrection? Well, they're obviously not the same resurrection. They're clearly delineated as two separate resurrections, one to life and one of damnation. They are very different. And then you go over to Revelation chapter 20, and it says, "And I saw thrones, and them that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus." Now, how did they get there? How did those souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So it's not just those that were beheaded, but everyone that was, for whatever, they didn't worship the beast, they were beheaded, they lost their lives for the word of God, they didn't worship the image, they did not receive the mark, they did not have the mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So here we have clearly delineated two resurrections. One, to those that join Christ and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That's the first resurrection. The second one is the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's the second resurrection. So what we learn in Revelation 20 is something that we did not learn in John, the Gospel of John chapter 5, where for the first time the two resurrections are clearly delineated. We learn, yes, again, it is confirmed in Revelation chapter 20 that there are two resurrections. The first ones, the ones in the first resurrection, will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And those in the second resurrection, well, that's the one that is of damnation. Okay? The rest of the dead, the ones who didn't make the first resurrection, lived not again or were not resurrected until the 1,000 years were finished. Seems clear, cannot be taken any other way without really trying hard. Okay? So there you have it. There are two resurrections. Which one is the secret pre-tribulation rapture? Well, according to the pre-tribulation rapture teachers, neither the secret pre-tribulation rapture is neither the first or the second. So it must be a third. But they say that the third, because the scripture clearly delineates and calls it the first resurrection. And the other one, the one that happens 1,000 years later, well, it must be, in context, it must be the second resurrection. How do they come up with a third resurrection? Was Jesus mistaken? Was John mistaken? I think not. I think they are mistaken, and they need to wake up. Well, I heard my tone. I'm going into a break. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Make sure you go to my website, nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and subscribe there. You can get there also by going to crosstheborder.org. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Oh, welcome back. I know I had my mic unmuted and you might have heard me laughing behind the scenes, but I pulled up this Babylon Bee email and I read this. Colleagues compliment John Fetterman on his excellent Frankenstein costume. And I know that's, I probably shouldn't laugh at that, but it's hilarious. I have to say it. This poor John Fetterman character who had a stroke and kind of isn't all there. Yeah. But that's the way the Democrats like it. They like people that they can push around and get their way with. Yeah. That can't think for themselves, basically. That's the way it seems to be. They got one in the presidency and, they chose this guy over Dr. Oz, which was a bad choice to run against them. They had some good candidates there for that district. Really too bad. Well, let's see what else the Babylon Bee got. Ah, ELCA, Lutherans clarify any similarities to beliefs of Martin Luther are purely coincidental. Yeah, it's really sad. The Lutheran Church and the Presbyterian Church, really very sad that they're all embracing women pastors. And as you can see, one there with a rainbow scarf on or whatever, and that's your Lutheran, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Yes, clarify, any similarities to beliefs of Martin Luther are purely coincidental, meaning they don't want to own Martin Luther, and really a sad state of affairs. Okay, let's see what else we got. Secret Service mistakenly spends 4 hours protecting Halloween butler decoration. Yeah, thinking, yeah, you get it. I don't have to tell you about it. Let's see, Portland neighborhood terrified by resident dressed up as normal middle-class family. Normie, yes. What else? Oh, spooky. Lori Lightfoot dresses up as Lori Lightfoot. Yeah, another one of those characters. You look at him and you just go, whoa. Something's wrong with this picture. You'd think you were looking at, you know, orcs in the Lord of the Rings or something. You go, wow, that poor person. Yeah, what their parents must have thought when they saw that child come out. Or maybe they were hatched. Or maybe they are aliens. Okay, DC parents warn trick-or-treaters to avoid big house where creepy old man lives. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. You know, I've been living here on the Foothill Ranch that belongs to my family for, you know, 20 years now. Never had a trick-or-treater come to the house because we're far out enough in the boonies that no children come here. Yeah. It must be a scary place. Let's see. Terrifying haunted house where they rip humans limb from limb. Actually, just a Planned Parenthood. Yeah, that's how they planned parenthood. Okay, well, that's the Babylon Bee. Anyway, thought I'd share that with you. My favorite one was the first one, likely why it's at the top, because the picture is so perfect. Yeah, he could have been one of those 60s sitcoms shows, you know, where they had a guy named Lurch or something like that. He would have been the perfect character actor for that. And he probably, likely, would not even have had to act like the actors did. Okay, moving on. How unkind of me. Yes, forgive me, Lord. I'm only a little more than human by your blood. Okay, let's see. What else we got? We were going to talk about... Yeah, let's get something else up here instead of a Lurch. Yes, the news today. Here we have Palestine, a map of Palestine. So, we got the kings of the East, and that is the Far East. We got the, will there be a war? You know, something I was thinking about. I was thinking about several things. And, you know, God is not obliged, believe it or not, to allow anyone to build a temple of any type in Jerusalem before he comes. And that's why I've always said it may or may not happen because God is in control. Now, I know I wrote my book, you know, the Abraham Accord, or the first version of it was When the Third Temple is Built. And I posit in it a scenario that happens when they build a temple-type building on the Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount is, I don't believe it's actually, I believe it is the old Roman Antonian fort that the Romans built in Jerusalem that elevated what they call the Temple Mount today. I believe that was the foundation for a Roman fort, and that the actual temple was down from it in the old city of David, where it would have belonged, where the spring is that watered the temple, because there's no water on the so-called Temple Mount today. But that's fine, because there are a bunch of pretenders and deceivers and deceived up there that want to build this Abraham Accord, which has begun in several of the Arab nations now. And so we don't know what's going to happen, whether the peace accords will be picked up again, because none of this is a part of the Revelation prophecy. Now, I do believe that some of the prophecies in the Old Testament may indicate Israel back in the land as a nation, but not as a set-apart people for God, okay? Unless they become washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then they would be, unless Israel nationally recognizes the Messiah, and I think they will. But I think they will when Christ returns, that many more of them will accept him as their Messiah, but they will have missed the first resurrection, because they will not be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye unless they're covered by his blood. But it does seem to be that when Jesus does return, whether it's in 15 years or 30 years, that there will be those that are called national Israel in the land, as there is now. It is likely that conditions may be very similar even 30 years from now. Or it may be that that Israel becomes annihilated because, you know, they're born again as a nation, in a way, but still rejecting the Messiah nationally, because they do. And even those that accept the Messiah are marginalized in Israel. Okay, so those that become true born again, purchased by the blood of the Lamb, people of the book, you know, true Christians, truly God's chosen. So we have no way of knowing, be outside of what the Bible tells us, is going to happen to Israel. Because to me, you know, I look for it, people say they see it, but every prophecy of the rebuilding of the temple was given before the temple was rebuilt. And the only prophecy of the rebuilding of the temple that has not been fulfilled is the Ezekiel prophecy, chapter 38, 39, thereabouts. It doesn't seem that the temple foretold there has been rebuilt, but I believe that that is foretelling a rebuilt temple when Christ returns, when Jerusalem actually becomes the capital of the world, because the king of the whole earth is coming back, and he's going to make it the capital of his whole or of the whole earth. That's what I believe the Ezekiel prophecies are about. So other than that, all of the other rebuilding temple prophecies were fulfilled with the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonian desolation, because they were all given before that. And, but like I said, Ezekiel is the only one that really stands out. So, and I believe, like the Orthodox Jews believe that they have to rebuild the temple before the Messiah will come. So they're willing to wait. They don't really care about the Abraham Accord or any of that. They believe that Well, I think they believe the temple. I think I misstated that. I think they believe the temple will be rebuilt when the Messiah comes. That's why they're really not interested in the Abraham Accord and the Temple Mount things over there that are going on and building the temple, because they believe that when their Messiah comes, who they don't believe has come yet, but so they're a little bit closer, and perhaps those Orthodox Jews that believe they wait for the Messiah, then the temple's built, well, in a way, they're right, and likely when the Messiah does come, they will likely accept him, perhaps. It seems like they're closer to that type of a scenario where they'll accept the Messiah when he actually does come, and he will actually come, and set his, just as the scripture says, he will come in the same way that he left, with clouds, and those who are alive and remain, it says first the dead in Christ will be raised, one. Two, those that are alive and remain, like if we're living or whoever's living at the time he comes back, I pray I could be one of those. God hasn't told me definitely, yes, that's going to happen to you, Nicholas. So I don't know. I really don't need to know. It doesn't make any difference, but you know, I can pray and ask for anything I want. Doesn't mean I'm going to get it, okay? And God's plan, I'll accept it whichever way it turns out. That's for sure. So anyway, first, the dead in Christ will be raised from the dead. And the dead in Christ are not just Christians. It's everyone who's covered by the blood of the Lamb, you know? It's like Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. You think his sins were covered by the blood of the Lamb? I'd say yes. How about David? I'd say yes. Adam and Eve? Yes. Every believer before Christ came and laid down his life, all those that were looking forward to salvation by the Messiah, their sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. All of the patriarchs, all of the righteous of the Old Testament era, all of their sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. They will be raised with all of us who, since Christ laid down his life, the church, all of us together, the dead in Christ. That's a huge group of people, because the only way you are raised from the dead is if your sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb, and that's what it means to be dead in Christ. Okay, they will be raised first, then those who are alive and remain will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. So like what we just said, there's like two twinklings of an eye. First to raise those that are dead, and then to change those that are alive and remain. And perhaps the third twinkling of an eye, which means really, really, really very fast, will be caught up, harpazo, rapture, okay, by whatever language, caught up to meet Christ in the air, because he's returning in like manner, and we will meet him in the clouds. And no, he's not going to do a U-turn with us and take us to heaven. He is coming. It is his second coming, and we will meet him in the air, and we will join him to appear where he appears. And we will be with him forever. And we will have, and then the changes will take place in Israel and Jerusalem that are spoken of in Ezekiel, the temple scriptures there, and all of the things that are foretold. That is the temple of his millennium kingdom. But actually, we are the temple. Those are just buildings, okay? We are the temple of God. His people are his temple. And he will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, as it says in so many places, beginning with Daniel chapter 2, where the stone that was formed without hands strikes the mystery Babylon image in the feet and shatters it to pieces, and it's driven away like the chaff of the threshing floor. because there's no place found for those nations. Those beast powers are gone forever. Totally obliterated. But the people remain. The nations, the people of those nations remain. The national structures, the ruling powers, the governments are gone because there's only one government and it fills the whole earth. That's what we have to look forward to in the future. Okay, let's see. Got any comments in the chat room? Repent. No comments. If you have, anyone has any comments or questions, please put them in the chat room. I don't have one person over in the First Amendment radio chat room, so perhaps I'll just have to give it up. But I have one person over in the Rumble chat. Good to see you over there, WW. And we got a few people on YouTube. The platform that does not believe in free speech. So we're not talking about certain things today. We're just sticking directly and only to prophecy during this broadcast. That's how we can be on YouTube. Yeah. Because every week, YouTube, I mean, just this is my, I'm going to show you my inbox here, First Amendment Radio inbox. If I scroll down, you'll see this. You see all these here behind me, they all say, YouTube removed your content. This is in October, last week. YouTube removed your content. They're removing content. They're removing videos from First Amendment Radio YouTube channel every day. And I say that's an indication to me that eventually we will be just kicked off of YouTube. How can they... Last week, it looks like they deleted 5 videos, and we've got thousands up there. And in the month before that, it was about the same, about 5 per week. They're just, I don't know, they have algorithms that are now picking out videos for deletion. So we're getting all of the same content, like all of the... Inquisition Update archives, we're getting them all on Odyssey and Rumble slowly as we play them out, but we'll eventually get them all re-aired and on those playlists over there. But they're very popular even on YouTube, and I had to stop uploading. I think I was uploading, I forget, I think it was Code Word Barbalon, Book 1. And they tagged or flagged one of the videos as being hate speech or something. And I thought, okay, well, I'm done with that. But so far, they haven't removed any of the Inquisition Update videos from YouTube. But I'm sure they will eventually start deleting them. And once they delete one out of a series, what's the point in having the series there? But I'll leave them there and let them delete them at their own good time. So, anyway, that's just for your information as of what we have to put up with YouTube. Just think of it. First Amendment Radio is being censored on YouTube. First Amendment Radio. Continually, every week. For some reason, they're not giving us strikes because many of the videos are like 5, 6, 7 years old that they're deleting now. So... Okay, let's see. If mortal men live and die on earth during the millennium, is there another resurrection of life for those who came to Christ during this period? You know, it's not explicitly stated that there is, but I believe there is. I believe that they will be treated in the same manner, except being resurrected to a 1,000-year reign with Christ on the earth. I think they'll be resurrected in the same manner as we are when the time comes. Those who live and die in Christ during the millennium, I believe that they will in the same manner be taken into the new heaven and new earth as we are to join Christ in the first resurrection. That's my belief. And it seems logical to me, as there's no explicit teaching given on what happens to those that accept Christ during the millennium. Because there will be those. I mean, we have a whole new era and a whole new 1,000 years of mortals being born and living, and a certain number of those will accept the Messiah. But as we learn at the end of the millennial reign, that most of them, the majority of them, as in every era up to now, will reject the Messiah for whatever reasons. And I think one of the major lessons to be learned from that fact is that that it has nothing to do, that you can't blame Satan, that with or without Satan, because Satan will not be present during the millennium, that with or without Satan, people will still reject. It's the human heart. It's the fallen nature that is operative, and I believe it will be operative in the same way. There's no indication that human nature, that the human fallen nature in those mortals will not be operative as it is now, except there will be, no one will be able to use Satan as an excuse. It will become clear that whether Satan were present or not, that those who rejected the Messiah would have rejected him anyway. And so I want to thank you for that, Anvil Stryker, for that. So if mortal men live and die on earth during the millennium, is there another resurrection of life for those who came to Christ during this period? And I would say yes, that it will be the same manner as we're resurrected in the first resurrection. They'll just be resurrected with us when we enter the new heaven and new earth, because that's the next major change. And this creation era, the 7,000 years of this creation era, will be gone. The old heaven and earth will vanish away, and the new heaven and new earth will appear, and we will be with Christ and with all of those who are saved from all eras together in that new heaven and new earth. And the fate set for those that go to the second resurrection and the second death. Because those that accept the Messiah, those that receive and are born again during the millennium, well, they certainly can't go on to the second death. So I don't think it's really, I don't think it's really necessary for the scripture to explicitly state what happens. But I have wrestled with that, as you can tell from what I'm saying and my conclusions, that I have wrestled with that problem. But I think it's not really necessary for us to have an answer to that. And also, I believe that whatever is necessary for the believers that accept Christ in that era, they will have the same information we have. And that's the conclusion. And I believe that we will be able to tell them truthfully that yes, they will be in the new heaven and new earth. So thank you for that. Okay, anything else over here? Okay, I've got a tone coming up, and we got another full hour to go, and there's plenty more to talk about. But I would especially love to see some questions, comments in the chat room. Would like a little input from the listeners out there if you can. Anyway, there's my bumper music. And, you're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
There we go. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And WW in the chat room over there says, we won't need any government, as all will reign over themselves under our king. Well, in the millennium, I believe that there will be mortals on the earth. And the scripture does say that we will rule and reign with Christ, because those of us that are resurrected, and when we see him, we will be like him. We will never even be tempted to sin again, because that is our desire now. I mean, who doesn't desire that, that belongs to God? The desire of every true Christian's heart is that they long for a time when they will never even be tempted to sin again, let alone sin again. But we concede, you know, that we will sin again in this life, even though we don't want to, and we long for that time when we will never sin again and never even be tempted to sin again. And that time is coming for us. that time when we rule and reign with Christ over the whole earth. You know, when the stone that cut out without hands shatters the image that represents the governments of men, the beast powers of men, and it's blown away so that no place is found for it anymore, and that stone becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth, becoming the capital of the whole earth. And we rule and reign with him. And it says that he rules the nations with a rod of iron. I believe he does that even now. And by the sword that comes out of his mouth, his word. But there has to be someone for us to rule and reign over. We're all going to be self-governing. Because like I said, when we're resurrected, we're in our resurrected bodies enjoying Christ. We will never even be tempted to sin again. Hallelujah. Okay, who can say amen to that? Everyone who is a true Christian should be able to say amen to that. I long for that. That's the desire of our heart, and that desire of our heart is going to be granted. But not so with the mortals that live through. You know, a lot of people like the amillennials believe in annihilationism for planet Earth, and everyone who's not in Christ is just going to be killed by Christ when he comes, and they're all going to just be killed. But no, there are people that are going to live through it. You know, it's like I was reading, I believe the week before that, about how they believe the pre-tribulation secret rapture people. They believe that all babies, all children are going to be taken up in the rapture when Jesus comes in the secret rapture. That just by virtue of being babies and children under the age of accountability, they're going to be raptured to live forever with Christ and join that special class of secret raptured people. But I think all of those children are most of the children on earth that are living at that time, and babies are going to live with their parents into the millennial era, into the millennial reign of Christ. And they're going to live with their parents. There's no need for babies and incompetence and all children under the age of accountability to be raptured. They just put that in there because of the sensibilities of women, primarily. Because they want everyone else to die. That's their plan. You know, I think for most of the, I never hear them talk much about what's going to happen in the millennium, except that the Jewish nation is going to rule the earth. That's kind of, and they're going to start having sacrifices. And again, that's dispensationalism. You know, that's a total fantasy. That's not going to happen. It's going to be, and that's what we're talking about, what's going to be. So I believe that when you die, this is my personal belief, you don't go to some intermediate state and float around in heaven. Because it says when you see him, you will be like him. And Jesus is not a disembodied spirit floating around in heaven. That's for sure. At least he didn't show up as one. And I'm certain he isn't one now. Okay? So that's not going to happen. I believe when you die, you go immediately to the resurrection event. Because that's what it says. The dead in Christ are raised. So that's where you appear when you die. You go immediately to that event. I mean, if Jesus could travel through time and space, certainly it's not going to be a great feat for God to have everyone appear at the resurrection event, all of the dead raised, and appear with Jesus in the clouds when he returns, and to come back with him to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Not a problem. You got to remember who God is, okay? If he says he's going to do it, then that's what we should believe. It's not a problem. He can do anything he wants. He is God. And if he says that we're going to join him, so I believe when I die, and like, for instance, I had an older sister. She died back in the 1980s, okay, at the very young age of 35, okay? And I believe that here I am, in my 70th year, and let's say in 10 years or 30 years, I die. I believe we will both appear with Christ in the air at the same time. Yeah, that's what I believe. That's my belief. I don't see a problem there, okay? I can conceive it in my mind, and if I can conceive it in my mind, and it fits with the Word of God, I don't see it a problem for God to do. Like the amillennials, they just think, oh, well, that just cannot be. Jesus is not going to rule and live on the earth for 1,000 years while mortals are living and dying and sinning. By God, it could never be. See, that it injures their sensibilities to even think of it somehow, that what is written plainly in chapter 20 of the Revelation could actually happen. That we could be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years and there being mortals being born and living and dying and sinning. God forbid, that's what they think. Well, we're living and dying and sinning right now, and we're even born again in Christ. God forbid that this should be happening. You know, I mean, is what is plainly written in Revelation 20, is that any more outrageous than what is happening now or what has happened in the past? Look at the drama of history and tell me that somehow the drama of history excludes the drama of the millennial reign of Christ. It does not. It affirms, all of history affirms the millennial reign of Christ, a bodily millennial reign of Christ. I find it much more acceptable than what I'm going through now. I long for it. I long for the millennial reign of Christ compared to what I have to live now. Yeah. Do you not? Who wants to disagree with that? You says, I can't read that. Test. Oh, have someone called you in the chat room running a test over there. Well, welcome to the chat room there, whoever you are in the chat room. You can change your name. Press a little green people icon there to change you to whatever your name really is, if you want, or whatever you want to be called. Okay, so when Jesus comes, as I said, when we die, or when, if we're alive, when he remains, we will meet him, we will be changed, we will be caught up, harpazo, not secret, pre-tribulation raptured. It will be the first resurrection, as outlined in the scriptures plainly. There is no third resurrection that precedes the first and second resurrection that are explicitly enumerated in the scripture. Okay, there's no third option that precedes the first. The first is the first, and the one that follows it is the second, and there's no third option anywhere in the scripture. I keep saying it, but let's see. So, when he comes, or when we meet him, we go to the grave, and we immediately, the next thing I know, we know, we won't be lying in the grave going, gosh, I wonder how long I'm going to be here. Huh. No, it's not an option. You know, God himself dwells outside of time, and he certainly can take us outside of time and put us in that future. Not a problem for him. Okay? And so what will happen? We will be with him when he returns. And when he returns, he's going to put his feet where he said he's going to put his feet. And the Mount of Olives is going to divide in two from north, the north between the north and the south. And there's going to be a valley in between, just like it's outlined in the scripture. Okay? Just what it says. And this, most of that information is in the Old Testament. Okay? And we will be with him. And I believe that the world, okay, the beast powers of the world are going to gather together, and they're going to have a conversation that's going to be like, what are we going to do about this alien over there? And look at all those people that are missing all over the earth. Look at, they're with him. This alien has snatched her own people and turned them to his side. That's the way it's going to look to them. That's because they're unbelievers. They cannot believe what the Bible says. Of course, there are some that are going to go, huh. And there are some that are going to believe. But most of them will not, because miracles did not faze anybody when Jesus was on the earth in Jerusalem performing miracles. Those miracles only authenticated the message and who he was for those that were true to God to begin with. The unbelievers, miracles didn't help them at all. The miracles were there only to authenticate the message and the messenger. That's what the miracles were. The miracles could not change the minds of so many people. Because miracles, no one's saved by miracles. We're only saved by the blood of the Lamb and by the foreknowledge of God. And we're not going to get into predestination and all that. You can read, just read Romans 8, 9 for yourself and ask God to reveal to you the meaning of the words there. That yes, he knew us from the foundation of the world. And what that means, not really sure. I'm just glad that I'm one of them that he knew. And I will praise him and give him all the glory for my salvation because I had no hand in it. I was not good enough to be saved. No one is good enough. I am only saved because of his divine will to save me. I don't know why. I'm just glad he did. That's all there is to it. I didn't choose him. He chose me. I did nothing. There was nothing I could do. And that's why he gets all the glory for our salvation. Let's see any more comments over here. Chapter 27, verse 52 of Matthew. Who were the ones that came out of the grave when they opened? Would not that be a resurrection? You know, I've thought about that. And if we can go there, as a matter of fact, since you've given me the Matthew 27, verse 52, is that chapter 20? Because you have it written there, 20 and spelled out 7. Okay, 20, oh, Matthew. Okay, I don't, that's not it. Is it 27, verse 52? Is that what you're saying? Okay, and it says, and the graves, yeah, that's it, 27:52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And, you know what, I think the same thing for them, now, because I've thought about this. You can tell I've given this a lot of thought, but I did think about this too. I believe that they were many of the saints which slept arose. They came out of their graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. They appeared to many. Okay, what happened to them? I believe that they went to the first resurrection because they didn't stay. Okay, it says they came out of the graves and appeared to many. But it doesn't give us any more information to that. So we kind of have to fill in the blanks ourselves by what we do know. And I do know that they will also appear, as they appeared to many there, they will also appear in the first resurrection. So I believe that this was another miraculous event that happened to verify, to authenticate the message and the messengers. The message and the messengers. The apostles and Jesus. The message. The gospel and the messengers. And so they appeared to many. And that was a special thing for the 70th week. Because remember, Jesus said, I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was a special thing just for Israel, as were most of those miracles, were just for Israel. okay, to authenticate the message and the messenger. And at this time, the messenger would have been Jesus and his apostles that would have been authenticated by this. And they went to the holy city, appeared to many. And that's all it says. It doesn't say what happened to them after that. But we know, but we do know that they do appear in the first resurrection. So I would say that would be the next event for them after this special visitation. Because it doesn't say all of the saints. It says many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, but not all of them. So they were special. Perhaps they were special saints that were preaching a message or knew the truth, and God called for that special mission for that short time that they were there. But then their next event, after they finish that message of witnessing in Israel after that resurrection, they would go immediately to the next event, which would be the first resurrection, and join us with Christ in the air when he returns. Okay, well, anyway, thank you for that question. Let's see, that was from Dale W. I hope that helps. Yeah, let's see what else we got. You're working on Odyssey, okay, but here in Rumble it is just a picture of Luther and his hammer. What, Rumble stopped working? Huh. Okay. Well, it says everything's on here, so I don't know why. Maybe, hopefully it's just your position. Let's see. Not that I need to do this right now, but I'd like to check it. I'd like to know if I'm on. No, it shows me live on. There I am looking at myself. So it must be just your connection over there, WW. But, yeah. Okay, so that's that question. And also I believe that, okay, we will join Christ. I believe that while the nations are counseling together against the Lord and against his anointed, when he appears with us, and I believe that they will know that the news will spread. I've never, because we will disappear from where we are at. When we're harpazoed, when we're caught up to meet Christ, we will disappear from where we were on the earth, wherever you are on the earth, and people will not know immediately what happened. But I think it will leak out slowly, or it will be a big news item, because I believe that they will learn that all of those people that were harpazoed, caught up to meet Christ in the air, what in the Latin called rapture, okay, that they will learn that we are with him on the earth where he set his feet, and with him when he set his feet on the Mount of Olives and the mountain divided and all of that stuff that it says in the scripture will happen. And I believe that we will have a great family reunion and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it will be years while they counsel together, they move their armies around, get all their military logistics lined up to come against us where we are with Christ. Okay. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Okay, someone just had to, I get on a roll and somebody just has to interrupt me with nothing. Okay, so that's what I believe is going to happen. How long between the time Christ appears and the Battle of Armageddon take place? That is a question. That is information we're not given, but I believe that it will be, maybe it will be 7 years. Maybe. Before he establishes his government. Because, you know, I believe that he will give them the opportunity, which they will reject, the opportunity to surrender to him. Because they'll go, look, this guy has no weapons. He has no army. And he's over there, you know, saying he's the king of the earth. we believe he's an alien from another planet. That's going to be their word. Because if it's not set up for that, what else could it be? And look, he has your relatives over there that he's taken from all those gullible Christians that believed in this alien lore, you know, this fantasy scripture thing. And Christ, this is just some alien masquerading as, you know, kind of like the Star Trek episode that mirrors this and some other alien invasion movies that they have out there. And that's the way they're going to look at it. Christ is an alien. He's abducted some of our own people that were gullible enough to believe in that fantasy book, probably planted by aliens long ago, right? To harvest people from the earth and to join him. Because they're going to go, look, he has no army. They have nothing over there. We can take him on. So they'll gather together. They'll make their arrangements. They'll move their big ships around. And like I said, whether it'll be 3 years or 7 years, I don't know how long it'll take. I mean, how long do we need for our family reunion and the marriage supper of the Lamb? And I think while we're having the marriage supper of the Lamb, I don't think any of us are going to be worried about what's going on out there in the world around us too much. We're not going to be worried about them getting their weapons all lined up. We go, Jesus, look, they got, you know, aircraft carriers out there in the Mediterranean. Look at their, you know. We're not going to be shaking in our boots. We have the King with us. We know his power. His power created the whole earth and everything in it and on it. I mean, so nothing is too big for him. And we read, you know, that he turns the armies and uses them as his tools. I mean, just as he used Babylon as an object, a weapon of judgment to judge his own nation, his own people, way, way back when, as he used the Romans as a sword in his hand against apostate Israel the second time when he banished them from the Holy Land for good. They haven't got Jerusalem yet, have they? Yeah, well, they've got it, but they don't have what they believe is the Temple Mount. They're not building a temple and reinstituting their sacrifice. I think that's anathema. I don't think that God will allow that, them to do that as a nation, to enrage him again as he enraged them before when they rejected his son and his shed blood as a propitiation for their sins, that he was merciful to them and he allowed them to exist until 70 A.D., when finally it was done. The cup of abomination, the cup of iniquity was full up to the top. And the judgment came, and he wielded the Roman army as his sword in judgment against national Israel. Because the 70 weeks had been completed well before that. It was only his mercy that extended the full judgment until 70 A.D., And yes, the 70th week did follow the 69th week, completely fulfilled in history. It was the Messiah's week, exclusive to Israel. After the 70 weeks, the gospel goes to the Gentiles. And the Jewish believers are surprised about 34 A.D. They're surprised, they say, because the Holy Spirit has fallen out on the Gentile believers too. But it was withheld from them until the 70th week was up, because Jesus said, I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let's see. John Wesley said Matthew 27:52 refers to the 24 elders. Okay, well, I'll look at that because I'm going into a break right now. We'll discuss that. Any more comments or questions? Lay on me in the chat. Cross the border, cross the reality vision. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the Left Behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. Let's see. Anvil Stryker in the chat room, First Amendment Radio chat room, says, John Wesley said Matthew 27:52 refers to the 24 elders, and where it says, and the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And there's nothing specific there. It could be. He could be right. Perhaps he's looking at something to verify that in the scripture that I haven't seen. I would be interested if he had more information, but, or it could be just him, taking a guess at it, or, which is fine too, because there's nothing says it can't be, you know, that it's not the 24 elders. So who they were, I don't know, because it depends on who the elders are, too. Because, some say that the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs would make up the elders. And that would be logical, would it not? Would be logical. But I have no idea. The scripture doesn't give me any information. So that would be more information than I have to come to some kind of conclusion on that. Let's see, anything else here? And let's see, working, please don't forget to like. Oh. Will Jesus tell them who he is when he comes back, says Dale over there? I don't see why not. Or does he have to tell them who he is? Will they not send people over there to say, who are you? I think it would seem that somehow they would have to find out that, you know, he's the king of the earth, and and they all need to surrender to him somehow. That message has to get through. But I guess we'll just say there are a lot of details we don't get. You know, if we got every detail, we would need about 100 more Bibles, okay, to get every detail and question people could think of. But will he tell them who he is? Yeah, I think so. I think that he'll let them know who he is. Yeah. Whether they'll believe him or not, likely they won't. I don't know. But if they believed him, maybe some will believe and maybe some won't. I don't know, but I know for the most part, like, you have all those hard hearts over there in the UN. They don't believe him now, you know. And what did Jesus say to Lazarus when he had that story about Abraham's bosom, where Lazarus and the rich man were there? And the rich man begged him to send Lazarus back to warn his family. What did he tell him? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them read them, he said. Wow. So I think maybe they have enough information. Maybe he won't tell them anything. Does he need to? Has he not already given everyone all the information that they need? He's given us enough information that we know everything we need to know. So certainly they have an opportunity, but perhaps it wouldn't matter if they told them who he was. They likely wouldn't believe him anyway. So I think they're mostly just going to watch and come to their own conclusions, whatever Satan whispers in their ears. Because remember, they're all under great delusion. So maybe he doesn't have to tell them anything. See, we can go either way on that one. But I'm certain there will be journalists, and there are a few of those left out there these days that will be inquiring. You know, even among those that have not accepted Christ yet, the elect. Because there comes a time when you find out you're elect, and before that you don't know. That's kind of another thing that we might have questions about, because if God knew me before the foundation of the world, then when was I born again? Can I really say that? I can only go by what the Word says. And yeah. But anyway, getting back to what's going to happen then, and like I said, we will be here, but we will be with Christ when it happens. We will watch it happen. Yeah. And I'm sure that many of us will be concerned about family members and people we love on the earth. Will we be the emissaries to them? Will we be able to go and see them in between the time Christ returns and the final, that battle of Armageddon? Because that will be the closing battle. When that battle happens, then That's the point where the stone strikes the image. And all of those governments, all those government constructs that we call beast powers now, will be done away with, and his government will fill the whole earth. That's the point. So in between the time he returns and we return with him, okay, because we have to go up and meet him in the air and return. So, but he's returning from his long absence bodily, and we will be with him when he returns, but we will be taken from where we are. There will be questions about that. It seems to me that we will likely be able to go out and witness to certain people, kind of like these dead guys come up from the grave and their special visitations. We may be granted special visitations with our loved ones. Yeah, see, the possibilities are just limitless when you start to think about this. Now all I need is a good fiction writer to work with me on our Left Behind, on our True Left Behind series. Because, you know, we who are resurrected, there will be people who are left behind, but it's not going to be, you know, while we're in heaven for 7 years. It's going to be while we're on the earth until the millennium, and many of them will live through on the earth into the millennium. So, yeah, the more I think about it, the more possibilities there are. And if we could do a fictionalized version, I certainly would like to be a part of that and do it the right way, but, you know, fictionalized. Because I wrote like a fictionalized chapter in this book when the Third Temple was built, about what would happen when the rapture doesn't happen. But I didn't go into depth of what would happen after. It's only what would happen, you know, during that 7-year tribulation deception period when they start building a temple-type building, because that's their kickoff point for the secret rapture. Is when they start building a temple. So it seems that those plans have been put on hold, at least for the time being. But also what's going out now may be an impetus to accelerate those plans at the end of it. So we just kind of have to watch and pray and wait and see how this thing pans out, because it may accelerate the peace plan by the end of the year. That's how quickly things can turn. And they may start their Abraham Accord on the Fort Antonian Mount. You know, the Roman temple over there in Jerusalem. And whatever, they're not going to build a Jewish temple and have sacrifices. That much I do predict. If they get to pull it off, I don't think that God is going to allow them. And plus that, if they're going to put an end, they're going to want sacrifices, but then that's going to be decided upon or decided against during the building of it. Or the Abraham Accord, as they exist in the nations that they've already built it in, there's no animal sacrifices, just a synagogue. So if they do the Temple Mount thing, they're not going to allow any animal sacrifices. Because one, first of all, because the Antichrist is the main mover behind the scenes on this Abraham Accord thing, as I outline in my book, The Abraham Accords, they're not going to want a blood sacrifice, because they have their bloodless sacrifice that they continually do every week after week after week through their miracle of transubstantiation. So they will have that. Nobody's going to argue that and say they can't do their transubstantiation, but I don't think a blood sacrifice will be allowed And Israel might think, well, we can start it, but they really can't. It's going to have to be put out because something that they'll negotiate away or put an end to by the middle of their seven-year period, their seven-year tribulation deception period. That's what I call it, the seven-year tribulation deception. Because this so-called great tribulation, which is stated nowhere in the scripture, it does says that there will be great tribulation in the years leading up to the return of the Messiah. That is explicitly stated, but it doesn't say there will be the great tribulation. It just says that there will be great tribulation. Well, there have been many periods of great tribulation throughout history. And so this is just, and I believe we're in that great tribulation period right now, a period of great tribulation. And if you want to say, well, is it, yeah, it's we're near the end. So it is the final great tribulation period spoken of in the scripture, I believe, leading up to the return of Christ. And it appears to me that we're in that now very easily. Also Israel has become a cup of trembling to the nations, as foretold in the Old Testament. So I think there may be an indication there of this, what's going on now, because it does seem to be a cup of trembling, what's going on over there in the Mideast. Let's see, if a mortal in the resurrection finally gets saved, will he go back in time to the first resurrection? I don't think so. Will there be two of him? No. That's not logical. I think that he'll be when, at the same time that we go from the old heaven and old earth in the millennium to the new heaven and new earth, I think that all of the people that were saved, or that all of the elect that come out of the millennial era, mortals, will join us at the same time in the new heaven and earth by the same method that we get there, okay? That they'll be translated kind of like those who are living and remain on the earth now, okay? Our resurrection is an instantaneous resurrection, changing into what we will be. We are not resurrected from the grave. So in the same way, I think that they will be instantaneously changed and join us in the new heaven and new earth. But I don't think they go back to the first resurrection. Yeah, that would be, and I can't find, like I said, I can't find anything explicit, but from what I know of scripture and what I understand, that's my best conclusion. But, you know, I will be able to tell you for sure when Jesus comes back. Then I think you'll know too, so I won't have to tell you. But if you have any questions, then just look me up. I want to meet you anyway, okay? Got a date? Yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun, WW, meeting you in the resurrection. Like I said, we're going to have some time for a great family reunion, to meet the family, and so much family that we've never even met before, the family of God. Yeah, it's going to be a great reunion. It's going to be like no family reunion that the earth has ever seen when Christ comes back and we join him with all of the saints from all time. Yes, all of those who are covered by the blood of the Lamb from all time up to that point will be resurrected in the first resurrection. Any saints that are harvested from the millennial reign of Christ will join us when we go to the new heaven and new earth. Some of them will live entirely through the entire millennium, because it appears from what we read in the Old Testament prophecies of that era that longevity will return. And we know that from the oldest recorded man we have in the scripture was Methuselah. And many other people lived hundreds of years, 900 and some years for Methuselah, until before the great flood, that was. And so it appears that longevity is going to be returned to those mortals who lived during that time. So many of the saints who live in the millennium will likely live and be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to meet us in the new heaven and new earth forever. They're not going to feel like they missed anything, really, when you think about it. Because I think, you know, that in a manner of speaking, we may be a little anxious ourselves for the new heaven and new earth. Because even, but we won't, you know, we won't be anxious as in anxiety, but we will be a kind of cheerfully looking forward to the new heaven and new earth, even while we're in our resurrected bodies during the millennium. And as those that accept Christ and are born again and have their sins covered by the blood of the Lamb, of the mortals that are born into or enter into the millennium, they will have the same expectation that we will have of the new heaven and new earth. Okay? Got any good fiction writers out there? Please call me. I want to write something because I like to be writing all the time. It keeps my brain working well. Yes, they say use it or lose it. I want to use it, but I would like to write some good fiction, and it's been cooking in my mind for years. But just having this discussion with all of you here live on the air, it helps. It kind of gets the creative juices flowing, but then the know-how to actually doing it, it's quite a feat. Yeah, it's quite a feat. So need all your prayers, all of you. Hope you're continually praying for me and the mission of First Amendment Radio and the work I'm doing here. I still need people. Get very few people from my website. It says here that I have 1,692 other subscribers, but I can't even get a dozen people to go over to my books on Amazon and give me a star rating. I'm not asking them to write. It's better if you actually write a review, and it doesn't have to say much. It just has to say something nice that you know about the book I wrote, you know. Whether you read the book or not, I've shared so much of what I'm sharing with you here on the air is in those books. And some of you have listened to the entire audible versions that I played of those books on the air. So you could easily write a review or at least give me a star rating and make it 5 stars, please. Yes. I'm due no less, I think. So anyway, I don't get much of anything else in the way of sales or donations, okay? Let's see. John Wesley spoke as follows concerning the 24 elders clothed in white raiment, and their golden crowns showed that they had already finished their course and taken their places among the citizens of heaven. They are never termed souls. Hence, it is probable that they had glorified bodies already. Well, we're all souls. Okay. It's just our souls receive glorified bodies because it puts off this mortal mortal existence. But our souls are changed, too, in that we're not affected by sin or ever tempted to sin again. Yeah, because souls are not just dead people. You ever go into a town and you'll say pop, it'll say, how many souls in some places, they just say population and they give you a number now, but they used to say, you know, like 2,369 souls. Yes. Because I've discussed the word soul before, and especially in my book, The Millennium Question, because you're dealing with amillennials. And they like to take the word souls and say, well, that only refers to dead people. Well, I prove that it doesn't scripturally. It refers always, everywhere it is in the scripture, the word soul is used. It refers to some someone in a body. That's right. Everywhere in the scripture that it's used, including Revelation chapter 20. That's the questionable one. And some of them even have, when they're reading that, they'll throw in the word disembodied. Yeah, they'll add a word to the scripture while they're reading it. I've heard that numerous times where they'll read chapter 20, verse 4, and say, put disembodied before souls. Well, my time's almost up. Let's see, got any more comments or questions? Nope, that's it. Well, thank you for that. WW says, good show today. Yeah, don't forget to like and share the video. Share the broadcast with others, especially with your secret rapture believer friends out there. Yeah, I want them to challenge me. I want them to convince me by the scripture that there really is a third resurrection event that precedes the first resurrection of chapter 20. Yes, talks about the souls that were beheaded, meaning that they died. Okay. But it didn't mean that they didn't have their heads when he saw them, because they were beheaded. But when you're resurrected, you get your head back. That's kind of the whole idea. That's funny. Oh, look, those guys over there have no heads. Yes. Yeah, he says, yeah, you're right. A person is a soul. Yeah, the lengths these able Eddies will go to, there's a site on Facebook that I had to quit, because it seems like some of them will never get it until Christ returns and we're all in the millennium together. They're going to go, yeah, hey, Nicholas, you were right, man. Sorry. Because many of them are my brothers in Christ, and many of the dispensationalists are my brothers in Christ. They're under a delusion. They just can't see for whatever reason. But it will all be straightened out in the end. Yeah. That much we can be assured of. Let's see. Getting toward the end of the hour here. Okay. No more comments or questions. Okay. Well, go to my website if you haven't yet. NicholasArthur.wordpress.com. Remember, the spelling of Nicholas is N-I-C-K-L-A-S, NicholasArthur.wordpress.com, or you can take the shortcut there, crosstheborder.org. It just will forward you there. And make sure you hit the subscribe button. And go to my book page there. You'll see the books there on the right column when you go down. Go to the Millennium Question, the Beast Apocalyptic, or an Exposition, or any of those books there that you've read or you've heard read, because I've read them all in their entirety on the air, and many of the things I speak of are written in them, and give me a good review on those, please. It would be very helpful to support this ministry, because, you know, the money I have coming in, which is less than I've had coming in prior years, is not going as far, because all that money is worth less now. And it's not looking better. So need support. And if you can't send me money, if you don't have $1,000, $1,000, or $100 to send me, you can review a book and you can share the broadcast and the programs with other people. Well, there's my music. It's time to say goodbye and say, may the Almighty bless you and keep you all as you travel on the narrow way.